Lakers Carpool is brought to you by Hook Products USA. Truck lovers, tow hook covers finally are here. Introducing Tokes, a first-of-its-kind tow hook cover that is a great way to personalize your truck's factory tow hooks. Tokes are made in the USA out of high-grade silicone rubber that clasps right over your truck's factory tow hooks so it installs in seconds and no tools are needed. With colors red, white, blue, pink, and amber, and costing just $34.95 per pair, Tokes are a unique and affordable way to customize your truck. Go to hookproductsusa.com and head over to the compatibility tool to make sure that Tokes will fit over your truck's tow hooks. After that, checkout is super easy and your truck will be rocking its Tokes in no time. Again, that's hookproductsusa.com for Tokes, the original tow hook cover.
A 1-point game.
Welcome to Lakers Carpool. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thank you for joining me on episode 125 of Lakers Carpool, where we're talking about Lakers basketball. The Lakers kicked off the season on Tuesday night in Denver. Denver had their ring ceremony, their banner ceremony before game one of the season against the Lakers, a little rematch of the Western Conference Finals. We're going to do a little quick recap of that game. We're going to read some text submissions that we got. I've opened up a text line for this for the podcast, so I'm going to read some submissions, and then we're going to do a quick little preview of the Suns game, the home opener for the Lakers against the Suns tonight, recording this on Thursday. So let's just jump right on into it. So the Lakers lose to Denver in game one, 119-107. This is game one of the season. I don't take too much away from it in one sense, right? Like, there's 81 more games to be played in the season, but I will say it is pretty evident that, you know, after game one of the season, that Denver is still, they're probably head and shoulders above the rest of the NBA right now. They're a really good team. They picked up right where they left off in the Western Conference Finals and in the finals, and they're just a good team, man. And Jokic is a guy that I will say, I feel like I need to say this. Going into, I can't remember if I did say this or not at one point. I'm sure I have, but going into the Western Conference Finals last season, I thought for sure that the Lakers would actually be a good matchup against the Nuggets. But what I didn't account for was how good of a shooting team they are, and they're still that way. You know, like, Jokic is a matchup nightmare, obviously. He's huge, he's tall, he can shoot, he can pass, he can stretch the floor. MPJ, Michael Porter Jr., he's tall, he can shoot, which, you know, thinking back to when the Lakers beat the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals in 2020, he was a good shooter, but he wasn't shooting at the level or at the clip that he's shooting at right now. Jamal Murray, same thing with Jamal Murray, right? Jamal Murray stepped up. Obviously, the Lakers traded away KCP to the Wizards in that Russell Westbrook trade. Now KCP is on the Nuggets. It literally hurts me every single time that we play the Nuggets to see him in his defense, his shooting, his just, you know, everything that we had in a championship season, he's doing now for them. So overall, the Nuggets just look really good. And the Lakers don't look bad, I wouldn't say. But, you know, we talked about in the previous episodes about how the Lakers have a lot of continuity with this team between LeBron and Davis and Reeves and D'Lo and Rui and Vanderbilt. There's a lot of continuity, which is great. You want that in a team that made it to the Western Conference Finals. You want to have a little bit of continuity. But I also talked about how there's still a decent amount of new guys, right? Torian Prince, Gabe Vincent, Jackson Hayes, Christian Wood. You know, like, there's half of the team is still brand new. And the only other team that it feels like has even more continuity than the Lakers is the Nuggets, right? Like, they've only lost Bruce Brown and Jeff Green. They're bringing back a good, obviously, their core of, like, the starters, Jokic, KCP, Jamal Murray, MPJ, Aaron Gordon. They have a pretty good group of young guys, Christian Brown, And I talked about this in the last episode about how the Nuggets play in their roles perfectly, right? This is how their GM set up the team. They traded away Bones Highland, who was a good young player, to the Clippers because he didn't fit in the role that they needed for that team, you know? And so they've focused on getting guys that will come in and fit their role. So overall, the Nuggets are a well-constructed team. They're a good shooting team. And when you have an offense running through Nikola Jokic, it's hard to stop. And the Lakers have Anthony Davis, who I would argue is the best defender, the best defensive player in the NBA. He is. I mean, you saw him in the NBA in the playoffs last season. He was the best defender in the playoffs last season. And he's has trouble with Jokic, you know. And we had in the 2020 playoffs when we played the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals and won that series in five games, we had a situation where we could throw JaVale McGee and we could throw Dwight Howard at Jokic. You know, we threw these big bodies at him, kind of make him uncomfortable, kind of whatever. You know, and again, I talked about this last time too. He's young. He was younger back then. He's grown as a player and all these different things. Anthony Davis is just, you know, he's a good defender, but he doesn't have the muscle or like the thickness to him to like Jokic can just kind of back him down a little bit. And to start off the game, Davis actually had some pretty good defensive plays against Jokic where even though Jokic can back him down, Davis kind of spins around him and blocks him from behind or things like that, you know? So he can still defend him to a certain degree, but if there's any player that's going to make Anthony Davis struggle on the defensive end, it's Jokic. So you have a guy like Jokic that can spread the floor, stretch the floor, can run the offense through him to, you know, MPJ, who's like 6'10". And that's the thing is the Lakers are a matchup or the Nuggets are a matchup nightmare for the Lakers. To start the game, we had obviously Davis was on Jokic. We had Reeves on MPJ. What LeBron, I think, was on Aaron Gordon. Prince was on Jamal Murray, and Russell D'Lo was on KCP. And I just hate that matchup. Reeves is way too short to guard MPJ. Michael Porter Jr. just can shoot over him so easily, and especially with the rate that he can hit threes. You know, MPJ went 2 for 9 in this game, but in the playoffs we saw him go off and just hit a ton of threes. Taurean Prince on Jamal, you know, and that's the thing is like with Schroeder, you know, not having Schroeder now, we don't really have, you know, maybe Gabe Vincent can come in and kind of chase around Jamal Murray as a guard or whatever, but I don't love throwing Taurean Prince on Jamal Murray. I don't love, you know, even Davis on Jokic. I go back and forth on it. I like it in the sense that Davis is a good defender and he's the best defender we have on the team, but it would be nice to be able to throw a bigger big onto Jokic and have Davis guard like an Aaron Gordon and then have LeBron guard, maybe MPJ or, you know, I don't know, switch it up there. But the length and the size between Jokic, Gordon, and MPJ alone, that's a lot of length and a lot of size. And then KCP, you know, he's a big guard. And then you have Jamal Murray, who's just, he's really come into himself. And, you know, between that pick and roll with Jokic and stuff, like they really got their situation down there. So to start off, it just is a matchup nightmare. And I feel like we didn't do, and again, it's with the new guys and stuff, like we're still, Darvin Ham is still figuring things out and all this stuff. But like we kind of came out and did the same thing. We had the same game plan against the Nuggets in game one of the season, in the first game of the season, as we did, it seemed like, in the playoffs, which obviously didn't work because we got swept. So I didn't love that from a coaching standpoint. And then overall, like the Lakers just, you know, we had some bright spots, but overall just didn't play that great as a team. You know, we only shot 45% from the field, 34% from three, compared to the Nuggets, who shot 52% from the field and 41% from three. Anthony Davis didn't score a point in the second half. He started off strong. You know, his first bucket of the game was a nice strong dunk down low, which I was like, oh, that's nice to see. Anthony Davis is coming to play. He started off the game pretty hot. You know, he had 17 points in the first half, and then he ended the game with 17 points. He only took one shot in the fourth quarter, and we lose this game by 12, you know. A 12-point loss looks like a blowout, but when you realize that Anthony Davis didn't score a point in the second half, it's like, okay, if you get Anthony Davis to, you know, score some baskets, to take more than one shot in the fourth quarter, that 12-point lead becomes, a three-point lead, or the Lakers are able to take the lead, you know. The Lakers, before the Nuggets kind of ran away with it, the Lakers had the game down to, I think it was a three-point game in the fourth quarter. You know, the game was a lot closer overall than a 12-point loss makes it out to seem. But overall, just not a good enough offensive performance from Anthony Davis. 6 for 17 from the field, 1 for 2 from 3, 17 points. And overall, you look at that stat line, you're like, not the best game, but not the worst. But then you realize that he only took one shot in the fourth quarter and didn't score a point in the second half. And it's like, okay, that's bad. You can't be having that from, you know, Anthony Davis is supposed to come in here and be the Lakers' best player. You know, everyone's saying, I think even LeBron himself is saying that AD, this is AD's team now, you know, and like, it can't be AD's team if he's not scoring points in the second half in a 12-point loss to what is in theory probably the best team in the NBA. LeBron had a good game, 29 minutes. He went 10 for 16, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Another dark spot. I would say there's three main dark spots. Anthony Davis in the second half, our offensive production from our starting guards, and then our bench play. So we went through the Anthony Davis situation. Our starting guards in Austin Reaves and D'Lo, they played a combined 67 minutes, so 36 for D'Lo, 31 for Reaves, and they basically had the same game. D'Lo was 4 for 12 in the game. Reaves was 4 for 11. Reaves had 14 points. D'Lo had 11 points. D'Lo went 2 for 5 from 3. Reaves went 1 for 2 from 3. So to have your starting guards go a combined, you know, 8 for 23 for 25 points, that's like, you know, that's just not a good, that's just a terrible game for your two starting guards. And this kind of goes back to the matchup problem with the Nuggets that the Lakers have, right? Like, starting both Reaves and D'Lo against the Nuggets is a nightmare situation, you know? Maybe, and I saw a clip kind of rolling around on Twitter about this, where LeBron is, like, talking to Darvin Ham saying, like, I can play point. Like, I'm just floating around there. Like, let me play point. And it kind of makes sense against the Nuggets, right? Like, you put LeBron at point, you kind of make it, get the team next to D'Lo or next, you know, I don't know. You just kind of get a little more size there in that sense, potentially. And then from a bench standpoint, we had the highest scorers on the bench were Cam Reddish with 7 points, Christian Wood with 7 points. Rui came in with only 6 points. Gabe Vincent only had 6 points in 22 minutes. So just a pretty pathetic bench performance for the Lakers. You know, Rui only played 15 minutes. Christian Wood only played 15 minutes. Cam Reddish played 18 minutes. Gabe Vincent played 22 minutes. And, you know, it's just not good enough. You know, like, there's not much more to say other than, I don't know if the rotations need to be a little different. You know, I know Jared Vanderbilt was hurt, and like, he doesn't usually provide much on the offensive side of things, but he does provide a little bit more defense in that sense. So, you know, I would say it's just overall, like, the Lakers really struggled offensively. Like, we started off the game pretty strong, and then we made substitutions. We took LeBron out, and the offensive production went down a ton. I was listening to the Laker Film Room podcast yesterday, and they were talking about how the offensive production or offensive rating when I think the starters were in for the Lakers was like 134, which they explained, like, you know, like a 110 rating is probably average. So 134 is really good. When LeBron was subbed out and Anthony Davis was like the focal point of the offensive rating skyrocketed down. Like, it's not skyrocketed, it plummeted down to like 74, which is horrendous. If 110 is average, 74 is awful. And, you know, Anthony Davis is supposed to be that guy for the Lakers this season. He's supposed to be their best player. You know, we need Anthony Davis to be like how Jokic is for the Nuggets. You know, we need him to be a guy that we can run the offense through. And, you know, part of this, you know, the Lakers are running this whole like five out type offense where Anthony Davis is getting the ball more towards the top of the key. And people have been talking about how like that's not something that he's done for the last couple of years, Anthony Davis. So maybe it's just maybe it'll just take him some time to get more comfortable in this new offense that the Lakers are running. And they pointed out also that when it was more of like a four out type offense where Anthony Davis was down closer to the basket, like off the block or something, is when he scored more times or when he was more, you know, productive on offense. So that could be part of it too. It's just kind of discomfort in the offense that they're running right now. And at the end of the day, the Nuggets are just a really good team. And obviously the Lakers need to be able to compete with the Nuggets if the Lakers have championship hopes, you know. But at the end of the day, like, if Anthony Davis isn't scoring points in the second half, if he went 0 for 6 in the second half, with only, he only took 6 shots, first of all. Only took 1 shot in the fourth quarter. And Lakers lose by 12. You know, you're just not going to beat good teams. You can't be a serious championship contender if your best player, in theory, isn't scoring in the second half. It's just pretty pathetic overall. So, you know, and the Nuggets played well themselves. Jokic, 29 points, 12 for 22, 13 rebounds, 11 assists. So a triple-double from Jokic. Jamal Murray, 21 points. KCP had 20 points. 15 from Aaron Gordon, 12 from Michael Porter Jr. They didn't have a ton from their bench, right? You had Reggie Jackson had 8 points. Christian Brown had 5 points. Peyton Watson had 3 points. You know, they weren't getting a ton of offensive production from their bench. Their bench is not... Their bench, you know, like we've said, it fits a role that they need or whatever, but they're not going to be, you know, outside of maybe Reggie Jackson or someone coming out and, like, randomly getting 15 to 20 points or something like that. They're most likely, most of the production is coming from their offense and their offense, or their starters, and their starters are built well. You know, it's a tough team for teams to match up against. So definitely a frustrating loss. But like I said, you know, I mean, coming into this game, I predicted the Lakers would lose, partially because part of it, if I'm being honest, is the Lakers haven't won a season opener since LeBron joined the team, since like 2016, you know. Part of that is easy to chalk up against, like, well, you know, with a LeBron-led team, you're not focusing, you know, if you're looking at, like, where to focus the most, it's at the beginning of the season, or it's not at the beginning of the season, it's more towards the end when you're getting the playoffs and you're ramping up and all that stuff. The first, you know, part of the season is to kind of get things figured out, get your feet wet and blah, blah, blah. And like an opening night loss, while the fans are frustrated, from a team standpoint, isn't the worst thing. You know, like overall, like, you know, I said this on Twitter, I responded just to someone saying, like, this loss to the Nuggets virtually means nothing. Like, yes, it is a benchmark, right? Like, we see, okay, the Nuggets are a team to be reckoned with. They beat us, they're good. So it's a benchmark, sure. That 100%. You can take something from every game you play, right? There's lessons to be learned, good and bad, positive and negative. But from, like, the grand scheme of the season, one loss to the Nuggets isn't really going to, like, I don't know. I mean, watch me say this, and then, like, it comes down to the one seed comes down to the Lakers being, like, a game behind the Nuggets or something. Like, that would be kind of funny. But in the grand scheme of things, like, this one loss in the season opener to the Nuggets isn't, you know, the end of the world in the grand scheme of the season and all that stuff. So, obviously still a bummer to see the Lakers lose and to see Anthony Davis not play well in the second half, to see our bench struggle, to see the guards struggle. Definitely that's frustrating for sure, but it's a long season. 81 more games we played. Like, we'll figure it out. So let me pull up some of the texts that I got. I think I only got 2, but, you know, better than nothing for the first time. So, the first text I got says, "Hi, this is Jake, a longtime Lakers fan, first-time texter." Jake, thank you for texting. He says, "I'm getting very, very amazing vibes from this team. I feel like we could be a top 3 team in the league, and I can't wait to see how the new additions help Bron and AD. Go Lake Show." Yeah, for sure. I 100% agree. I mean, I think that this team has a lot of potential. You know, a 12-point loss to the Nuggets in the season opener doesn't mean a whole lot to me, like I just said. I still think this team can be, you know, top 3 in the league, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I think top 3 in the West for sure. Top 3 in the league. It'll be interesting to see how teams in the East shape out between, you know, Philadelphia and Boston and Milwaukee and stuff. But I do feel like most of the Lakers' competition is in the Western Conference anyway. I feel like, you know, Suns, Nuggets, Clippers, you know, seem to be like the main teams off the top of my head. Milwaukee with the addition of Damian Lillard, it'll be interesting to see how that team, you know, kind of forms and how they play alongside, how Dame plays alongside Giannis and all that stuff. But yeah, no, I'm getting good vibes too. I think I loved what we saw from Torian Prince in game one. I keep saying game one like it's a playoff series. In the game, first game against the Nuggets, I forgot to mention him, but he was really the main bright spot. The starters were Reeves, D'Lo, LeBron, Torian Prince, Anthony Davis. Torian Prince played 30 minutes. He went 6-for-8 from the field, 4-for-6 from three, 18 points. So that's exactly what you want from Torian Prince, right? That plus a little bit of defense. And like, that's exactly what we need. So it was great to see that from him. I definitely am getting good vibes. I like how the team has shaped out around LeBron and Anthony Davis. So I 100% agree with Jake and his kind of his predictions for the season. You know, I think a top three team in the league is very doable, and it's definitely something that we as fans should be hoping for from this team, and that's something that this team and the Lakers should be striving for. So then I got another text. It says, "Hi James, huge fan of the show. Do you think the Lakers will ever beat the Nuggets again? Look forward to hearing from you." So this is from my buddy who's a Nuggets fan, obviously. I think, like I said, the Nuggets do seem to be head and shoulders above the rest of the league still. I think that they're just a matchup nightmare for most teams. And as long as they can stay healthy, I think that they are probably the favorites to make a run for the finals again. I do obviously I think that this Lakers team has a lot, while they have a lot of talent, they have a lot of growth ahead of them. I think that getting this first game out of the way against the Nuggets is a nice, learning experience. People are hit and miss on like moral victories. I wouldn't say that there were many moral victories in this game necessarily against the Nuggets, but there's always something that you can take from a game. You know, you can always learn something. And I think that the Lakers, well, hopefully Darvin Ham and the players and the Lakers are learning what to do and what not to do against the Nuggets, because they're a very specific team. Like I talked about with their length and their size, and obviously Jokic being kind of a unicorn of a player and his abilities and stuff. And how do you stop Jokic? Can you stop Jokic? Do you just let Jokic go for 50 and hope you can stop the rest of the team? You know, like, what is the strategy against the Nuggets? Like, every team has a kryptonite, or every team has a weak point. What is the Nuggets' weak point? And I think it's just a matter of time before LeBron and Darvin Ham and the Lakers figure that out and stuff. So, you know, I respect the Nuggets a lot. I think they're a very good team. So no shade to the Nuggets in that sense. I like the little rivalry that's brewing. You know, you have, I think towards the end of the game, the Nuggets fans were chanting like, "Who's your daddy?" which is like a reference to one of the comments that were made. I think Mike Malone made a comment or something at some point, or I don't know all the specifics, but they're chanting that. So there's a little bit of a rivalry brewing there. I mean, every team wants to beat the Lakers. Every team wants to be the Lakers' rival because it means that you're relevant, you know, and the Nuggets are relevant right now. They're the best team, and probably the best team in the NBA as of right now. So it's a fun little situation that's brewing here. And hopefully for my sake and not for your sake, Jackson, that the Lakers can beat the Nuggets. Hopefully it's in the playoffs. You know, hopefully it's not like we just beat you guys during the rest of the season and lose in the playoffs or something. But anyways, I appreciate you guys for texting those two. If you guys want to send a text, I have a text line that's open. It's not tied to my phone or anything like that. So you can send it any time of the day. Won't bother me. The number is 424. No, this is going to get confusing. The number is 424-242-3076. It's just tied to a Google Voice account, so you can text anytime. If you have a thought that pops up, shoot me a text. I'll read it on the podcast. We'll talk about it. Pre-game thoughts, in-game thoughts during the game, post-game thoughts, whatever. If you want responses to what I say on the podcast, if you don't agree with something, if you do agree with something, it's all fair game. As long as it's podcast appropriate, I will read it on the podcast. So looking forward to using that this season and getting a little more interaction with the people that are out there that listen to me on this podcast. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and then we are going to talk Lakers-Suns. All right, so the Lakers are playing the Suns tonight at home. It's their home opener, and the Suns opened up on Tuesday also against the Warriors in Golden State. So the Suns are actually on a little two-game road trip here. I don't know when their next home game is or when their home opener is. But Lakers play the Suns at home tonight, 7 p.m. And right now, the ESPN matchup predictor has the Lakers as 64% favorites in this game. Bradley Beal's injured, and he's not playing for the Suns. At least I'm pretty sure that's what I heard had heard last. There's an injury report saying Devin Booker's out too, which if that is true, then that would make sense. Oh, yeah, so there's a report 12 minutes ago that Booker is doubtful for Thursday's game versus the Lakers due to left foot soreness. So that is probably why the Lakers are 64% favorites in this game, according to ESPN. Obviously, that helps the Lakers a lot with the Suns not having Bradley Beal or Devin Booker. Kevin Durant is still a force to be reckoned with. So that's not to be taken lightly in that sense, but I was going to come in and I was probably going to predict the Lakers to lose this game like I did against the Nuggets. So the fact that Devin Booker is probably not playing definitely will help the Lakers. So hopefully the Lakers can take advantage and get a win. I think that getting a win in the home opener would be huge. I think, you know, the Suns are going to be, in theory, one of the top teams in the league. They've done a good job of kind of rounding their roster out, right? Like, they made some changes at the trade deadline last season, bringing in Kevin Durant, and they kind of thinned out their roster that season. They didn't have a whole lot of depth. Their defense was a little suspect, but they did have Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and DeAndre Ayton and all these things. And then they go and they trade for Bradley Beal. In that trade, they also get Vucevic? Let me see. I always get him confused. Nurkic. I always get Vucevic and Nurkic confused. They get Nurkic from Portland. They've also got, you know, like Drew Eubanks is a big 6'10", power forward, only 26. I saw him have a few highlights against Golden State. Eric Gordon. Yuta Watanabe is a, you know, a guy that came out and was like a big shooter for the Nets for Brooklyn last season. He's a 6'9" shooter. Josh Okogie was there last season. You know, so like their roster is good. They brought in Grayson Allen, who is one of those guys that like he's a flash in the pan kind of guy. Like, he's not maybe going to kill you every game, but he might put up 20 and play some defense and also hurt one of your players along the way. But the Suns are a good team. So, I mean, them not having Booker or Beal will help the Lakers a lot. And this is one of those tests where it's like, you know, I would hope the Lakers would prepare and come out and play well against a fully healthy team, and especially a fully healthy Suns team. You know, the Suns, this game in my mind means a little bit more than the, and I guess it doesn't really matter with how the Western Conference works anyway. It's like, it doesn't really matter like the divisions you're in, but for some reason for me, I'm like, you want to beat your division rivals, you know, and the Suns are a division rival. So, and obviously like the Suns are just a team that I don't like personally, you know, dating back to like the Steve Nash era and all that stuff. But, so the Lakers play the Suns, and hopefully they can take advantage. I mean, this is one of those tests where, this is what I was trying to say, is hopefully even if the Suns were fully healthy, the Lakers would come out and they would do their best and try and, you know, get a win at home and beat the Suns. But it's a test even more so to take advantage of certain situations where you are given the advantage, right? Like, the Lakers are given the advantage in this game with both Booker and Bradley Beal not playing. So can they grab the bull by the horns and take advantage of the situation and get the wins that they need to get? When we saw the Lakers do this pretty well on that run that they made last season to even get into the playoffs. They won most of the games that they needed to win. There was a few hiccups here and there, but they were able to get the wins that they needed. This is like almost like a first indicator, like a first test of like, can the Lakers come out and get the job done and get a win where the Suns aren't handing them the win, but they're making it a lot easier in this situation. You're taking advantage of a team that is having some early injuries or choosing to, you know, play things safe with guys like Devin Booker. So can the Lakers come out, take advantage, and get a win? So, you know, a little more pressure in a way, right? Like I was gonna, like I said, I was gonna come out and say like and predict that the Lakers might lose this game, also because the Suns are a good team. But then you see that two out of their three best players aren't playing, and it's like, okay, like we have to come out and get this win. We have to take advantage and get this win. If we don't win this game, then it's gonna feel a lot worse. It's going to be, I feel like it's going to, it'll mean a little more in that sense of like, okay, can the Lakers get things done when they need to? And again, season's still early, but at the same time, like you'd like to see a team take it seriously and do what they can to win games and be, you know, as high up in the conference standings as they possibly can be. So I do feel better about this game now that I see that they're, you know, Devin Booker's not playing, or he's most likely not playing. And then looking down for the Lakers side of things, it looks like Jared Vanderbilt is out again. It looks like Jalen Hood-Schifino is probably out again, and then Cam Reddish is a game-time decision. So, you know, we should have our starters and most of our best players playing. There's no reason that we shouldn't come out and win this game. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Lakers get things done. We're 6-point favorites in the game, as of right now at least, which is probably like a little close for comfort, but you know, you're still dealing with Kevin Durant. You're still dealing with Nurkic, who can come out and body, you know, put a body on Anthony Davis. You have guys like Watanabe who can come out and like get hot. And you know, we always joke as Lakers fans that teams will come out and have their best shooting nights when they play the Lakers, especially in Los Angeles, because there's a lot more eyes on them. They're up for the game. They want to beat them and all these things, you know? So you got to always be ready for some random person to come out and put up 30 or something. But, you know, I tweeted this also about the Lakers after the first game against the Nuggets, that, you know, if the Lakers can't figure out the defensive side of things, and again, I know that the matchup with the Nuggets is especially hard compared to some other teams, but if you can't figure out the defensive side of the ball, you have no hope of being championship contenders. And there was a few moments in the game against the Nuggets where the Lakers just didn't really look like they knew what they were doing, what their assignments were, and all that kind of stuff. So for me, the keys of this game coming into Phoenix are, one, taking advantage of the situation, right? Grab the bull by the horns and beat a team that is having some early injury problems. And two, can you win the game with your defense? You know, if Anthony Davis is going to come out and, you know, struggle, if he's not going to be able to score in the second half like he was against the Nuggets or something, then your defense has to step up and you have to figure out a way to switch things up, you know, get stops, maybe create some fast break opportunities, those types of things. I like the defense that we saw from Gabe Vincent actually came out and played some good defense. D'Angelo Russell actually surprisingly played some good defense against the Nuggets. I think D'Lo gets a lot of criticism for how he played in the Western Conference Finals. That isn't, I mean, it was fair for the moment, but I think some of it's bleeding into the season. That isn't totally fair. I mean, he didn't have a great shooting game, didn't have a great offensive game, but he did try and attack the basket more and create some more shots and things like that. That just didn't fall. Same with Austin Reeves even. So like the focus for this game against Phoenix is defense first. Can you stop Kevin Durant? Can you stop someone like Nurkic or Watanabe or someone, Okogie, from getting hot, hitting threes, and just beating you in the most annoying way possible? And can you keep building on some things that you were trying to do against the Nuggets that didn't fully work? You know, pick and rolls with Anthony Davis, attacking the basket for D'Angelo Russell, creating shots for Austin Reeves, like getting to the basket, finishing, things like that. I feel like we're there, you know, and again, it's only been one game, but we saw some good stuff against the Nuggets. I just didn't fully, you know, miss the layups, miss some shots, things like that. Let's just hone it in, focus, hit the shots that we need to hit, and play some defense and win the ball game. So I'm excited to see the Lakers playing at home. I'm excited to see what we can do against Phoenix. Sometimes it's a bummer when a team isn't fully healthy in one sense. Like, you want to be able to see your team play against the best version of the other team. But but also at the same time, if it helps the Lakers get a win, you know, a win is a win. I'll take the win. You know, in game two of the season, you're not necessarily like needing to really focus too much on those benchmarks. I feel like the benchmarks against a good team really matters more when you're, you know, three quarters of the way through the season, ramping up, getting ready for the playoffs and trying to like, you know, compare where you're at with another team. Right now, like this Lakers, you know, with, between the trade deadline and different things like that, like this team, the Lakers team could still look very different come the playoffs. Same thing with Denver. It's unlikely for the most part. Like I feel like most of the, I feel like these teams will probably stay pretty similar to where they're at, but it's still possible, you know. You know, you just never know what's going to happen in the season if there's injuries that happen and things like that. So like it's very possible that, that these teams look different in the playoffs than they do right now. So the benchmarks, the comparing and contrasting in the first couple games of the season isn't quite as important in my mind. So in that sense, it's like, let's just go in, take care of business, play good basketball, control what we can control and get a win. And I think if we can just do that, you know, I think the Lakers will find themselves at the top of the Western Conference, maybe even a top three team in the NBA, like Jake said. Thank you all so much for listening, and go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!